That'd be important.
Everybody knows Dr. Not everybody.
Romans 2. What?
He stands over there for 10 minutes, but I don't know if I'll come back. That was the wrong number.
I just thought of something. This is
a,
this
should
is
a, be a copyright.
Why
are we
throwing out?
This, you understand that for right now, we can say now it's whatever time it is, but it is from the standpoint of the reality of going out into the universe, it's 7:30. It doesn't matter what time the clock is. Now, what I want you to hear is you don't, in the same way, you're not living on the time of the world. And this is what it means to redeem the time. Your only function is love. And so the idea, you know, of trying to keep little schedules that your mind has invented and trying to do all this stuff that is really meaningless, this is a perfect example, because whenever we say it is, it's 7:30. And again, the only problem with it is if it's we're dealing with somebody in the world, and so then we meet their need, but it's not because it's not obligatory, and the same is true in every aspect of our life. This is what redeeming the time means. Redeem the time, for all days are evil. Does that communicate at all?
So if somebody asked me what time it is, I'll say, for your sake, it's 7:30.
Well, if you do that, then you obviously didn't hear.
The joke about a fascist state is the streetcars run on time.
Time is now.
I'm not surprised that you know that.
I do know that.
Anybody have any response to that, or anybody want to argue about it or something? What's really fun is when either I make up something or you make up something, Harry makes up something, some schedule, and then all hell breaks loose because we have to meet it. And that's just goofy. That's just the wisdom of the world. It's because somehow in school you got a gold star for being not tardy for 3 weeks or whatever it was. I mean, I had this huge, well, I won't mention names, I had a huge conversation yesterday with somebody that has a child that's getting out of school, college, and he was all upset because, not upset, but he was concerned, righteous parental concern, because she didn't know what to do. And I said, do you remember when you were that age? Do you have any memory of what? But what we do is, again, we pass this crap on, this feeling of pressure, onto, we keep it going on, and we pass it on to everybody. Of course, except for Rutledge. They haven't passed it on to them.
They should have passed it.
Now, they maybe should have, yeah. No, but the funny thing is, I said, of all the kids that we've had around here, that have grown up here, the only one that he would have considered successful was Angela. And then Gary just turned his mind that Angela got laid off. So. Because all the rest of the kids, by the world standards, they never do anything right.
They're
finding out who they are. We're not part of this world. What?
Well,
you're doing it
I'm
again.
I'm thinking that be not conformed, and that's what we want them to do is get conformed into the world. Deny, your impulses and just buckle under to some.
Well, that's called selling out.
Yeah. That's painful.
I remember clearly being asked over and over and over, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? And just hating that question. Just being terrified by that question. And feeling obligated to come up with an answer to that question.
Well, then you con yourself into coming up with an answer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
All right. Romans 2. Verse 1. We started in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. Remember, what the same thing is it's not the same thing that I'm judging you because you're tardy or whatever it is. The same thing is that you have left the mercy seat and gone to the judgment seat. And so that's why you're guilty of the same thing. That's why you're doing the same thing. It's not the specific little idea you might have at that moment. But you've gone from the judgment seat, from the mercy seat to the judgment seat in order to have the judging another. And the important part of this is, thou that judgest is krino, which means which it says when you do that, you kata krino yourself. You condemn yourself. Now, that means I'm not going to say anything now. No, that's not that. You got to, has nothing to do with you saying it or not, because if you've thought it in your head, you've done it. Well, I won't say anything because Oli will jump all over me or something. No, that's not the way it works. If you've thought it, your only response, instead of going ahead and feeding on the dust of that feeling of, is an instant repentance. Father, forgive me. I've resurrected the evil one again. I've left the mercy seat. I've gone to the judgment seat.
Bothers me when the light shines off your bright white face.
Well, just close the door then, or do whatever.
Get the veil.
You guys are evil.
I'm being a pain in the ass this morning.
It's a little
sneaky here
now.
Can you turn the fan on? All right. So everybody understands that. If there is a moment when you're judging down, the instant response is, if you can hear this, the instant response is not figure out ways and better ways and reasons. The instant response is, Father, forgive me. Right?
I found that in play yesterday after we talked about it. There are many opportunities to repent.
It's constant.
Yeah. And the faster the better, too.
And yeah. All right. For thou that judgest do the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now, the only basis of judgment, and we spent all day on this yesterday, it seems like, The only thing that the Holy Spirit's only job is to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, not because what you do or don't do, it's of sin because you believe not on Him. Of judgment or of righteousness because He's gone to the Father. And of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. So there's no wiggle room left. Your only response can be repentance. Well, I'm not judging. I'm a fruit inspector. That's a common one in certain religious circles that Gary used to be involved in. I'm not judging you, brother. I'm just a fruit inspector. You blithering idiot. What? What are you doing?
It's just that that's such a gay thing to say. I'm a fruit inspector. It's such a douchey thing to say.
All right. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Against them which commit such things. The judgment of God is according to that which is timeless. And this is what you got to see. If you're going to judge with righteous judgment, the only judgment you can make is if anything that you say cannot change with time. Because truth is timeless. It's the same in every generation, at every time, at every place, in every situation. And if it isn't, it's not truth. So you're not judging according to truth. You're judging according to your little religious order and rites that you have within you as the temple of the false god. Oh, but I'm a Christian. I've got the name Christ all over me. No. Doesn't matter what you say. It matters what religion is going on in you as the temple of the living God. You're doing it again, Gary.
This whole thing of trying to be a Christian is so odious because it's all manufactured. You all have to work the whole plan out through the cursed device.
Yeah, you can't do it.
So that you can look righteous, not only to yourself, but to others. And just as opposed to just balls to the wall doing it, whatever you are, and then trust God will.
Amen.
Guide and correct, whatever.
All right. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and you doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's pretty big. Next time you leave the mercy seat, just for a moment. Oh, this is what I like. That's what I don't like. This is the way it should be. I'll tell you one goddamn thing. This is the way it's supposed to be. No. You've heard nothing if that's what you think. Gary, you're doing it. You can't stop.
I'm alive. I'm a growing plant.
No, you're a dead plant.
You keep saying things that gets him off track.
Composting?
It's composting.
You just got through saying you're trying to make considerations of using that which is cursed.
Yeah. Not a little less.
Must not have been
important. All right. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now, that scripture is the best definition of the fear of God. And the fear of God, then, is the beginning of wisdom, that you stop responding to your emotional condition or your intellectual crap, unless it has this component. Does it change with time? Is what you're then if you're just moving in the flow of the world, then you're moving in the flow of the world. You're giving importance to the wrong thing. You're seeing at instead of seeing through. Something's going on. Is it you? Am I just mistaking?
I'm just trying to keep up with it.
Something's going on in that quadrant.
Somebody pissed off at you?
Huh?
Somebody pissed off at you?
Probably. I wouldn't know how to act if they weren't. All right. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If it wasn't for the goodness and mercy of God, and if we don't count that longsuffering as repentance, if we don't see that any other place other than this moment of faith is crucifying the Son of God afresh, it's trodden underfoot, the blood of the covenant, it's all those bad things, then we'll just go, I'm just being me.
Well, it's not leading us anywhere except to repentance. You know, it's not leading us to be successful. It's not leading us to understand all this stuff or get it right or any of that. It's only leading to that one thing.
Amen.
This could be the funniest verse in the Bible. Because my experience is that the riches and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering and all that is all the stuff that I hate. It's all the stuff that I don't like.
Right, because
that's what his rod and his staff is what he's talking about. And this is really funny. Because this isn't riches and jets and cars and this is getting your ass.
It's the things not happening the way you think they should.
That's funny.
And yet in your sincerity you're just trying to be. I'm just so sincere, God. Oh, I'm just trying the best I can. You don't understand. I've heard that from Harry 50,000 times. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've done the best I know how to do. That's the problem. Your best is a filthy rag. Now you're mad at me.
No, I'm thinking about yesterday. I don't even know how to say this, but there was a 20-minute period or so where I sat at my desk yesterday. I was ready to kill myself, literally, or kill everybody else, literally, or just get in the car and drive into a brick wall, literally.
Was that after I met with you?
Huh?
Was that because after I met with you?
No, no. Okay. It just had to do with not feeling well, not being able to breathe. You know, just everything just came in on top of me for about 20 minutes. And it was as bad as it's ever been.
I accidentally fisted a little calculator from me.
Oh, I could have killed
him. I had known that. I would have been near him.
Don't get in the car with him.
Despisest thou. This is the word that... The despises. Remember, we've talked in the last few days about what it means to hold. Where the scriptures in Isaiah, I think, that says you hold the branch to your nose. That it means that at that moment you're looking down on. That's what despises means. That's what it literally means. You're looking down on yourself. You're looking down on somebody. You're looking down on a situation. You're despising the goodness and mercy and forbearance of God because you've elevated yourself and you're looking down on your situation or your relatives or somebody has messed with you or somebody doesn't treat you the way they should. And so you're looking down on. Do you understand that?
To me, the riches is that he's put me in a place with people that exhort me and that there's a real community.
Right.
And but that there's a body and that there's covering. And one reaction to that is to despise it because it's not what I wanted in my life.
Oh, me neither. I despise every single one of you and I despise this place if I pay any attention to my mind.
Well, what you just said is true for you, and it's true for me, and it's true for everybody in this room. But it may be that some poor son of a bitch is sitting alone in a motel in Seattle reading this in a Gideon Bible, and it's still true. And he may be completely alone, and, you know, it's always
this is always
That's
true.
What I mean. What the riches to me is this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to not, be in joy about it, to is despising.
Anybody understand that? Yeah. To look down your nose at even attorneys.
That branch to the nose is like you judge something stinky, and the branch to the nose kind of covers the smell and puts you, separates you from it. You're not part of that smelling mess.
No, it means you're judging the branch. You're picking up the branch and judging it by sniffing it. Well, the branch is Christ. He's
the branch.
I don't mean to be running off the mouth, but that's
what you're in effect judging the Messiah. You're holding your nose. It's always about him. That's what you have to remember.
Yeah, anytime you're looking down on something, you're
looking down on.
He's the one who you're judging down, because he's the one who's bringing it forth.
Let me give you an example of me judging Christ. Several years ago, I've told this story before, but one weekend I went and I drove all over Dallas, and I every time I saw one of the ubiquitous guy holding a sign, I stopped and I offered him a place to live and a job and food. I told him his salary was $55 a week, same as I got. Now, one of those, without exception, every single one of them, you know, there was 24 of them, 24. Now, so what I've done, I've made myself a Pharisee, and I just realized this, in the last few weeks. I have used that as the excuse, I was at a grocery store. Ronnie, where are you? And this guy came up and kept knocking at my window. And I automatically used that experience I had with those 24 guys holding a sign, and I didn't give this guy a dollar or whatever he wanted. And it just, it bothered me so bad, I couldn't hardly breathe. After I realized what I'd done, it was too late, he'd already gone. But that's when I was literally holding the branch to my nose. I was despising Christ, because I had made a judgment about that person that was homeless based on really what I thought was good evidence. Now, that's what led me to this. The Good Samaritan, one of the priests and Levites that walked by the guy, I was that. I walked by a bunch of them since I had that experience. So, we're all guilty. And this is why, despisest thou the goodness and the riches and the forbearance and the mercy. We hold our branch not to the issue, not to the thing. We are holding the branch, which scriptures define as the Messiah, to our nose, and despising him by our refusal by having the a priori judgment about that situation, whatever it is that we're going to be in. Does that communicate? That's what holding the branch to your nose means. It means what you said, but it's far more. It's the branch is Jesus Christ, and you're despising him. Okay? But you also do it when you wish the condition you were in is different. And you start complaining. You're holding the branch to your nose. Scott spent the last 2 or 3 years holding the branch to his nose. 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
And the goodness and mercy of God, you know, we would have killed Scott. I thought about it.
We had a meeting.
Huh? But that's what we do. That's all we do when we're not. It's like not when we say "Hallowed be Thy name." If we are not hallowing His name, if we have the slightest tinge of a complaint, we are holding the branch to our nose. Every time Harry feels sorry for himself, he's holding the branch to his nose. And the only reason I picked on Harry is because it's so obvious when he does it. But every one of us feels sorry for ourselves.
I don't.
Huh? Oh, okay. Ronnie, you spend your life with a branch stuck up your nose. So you don't have to hold it.
Come on, yeah, me and your roommates.
I know. That's why I know. This is Romans is good.
This is good stuff. Yeah, the forbearance and long suffering, all those 3 years.
Yeah, just and what it should remind you of is every time you should have been a toast.
Yeah, this thing about
it, the idea that there is the slightest bit of entitlement that you deserve something is holding the branch to your nose. Excuse me.
The choice of the word despisest, you know, the idea that God is heaping on me these riches, and I think them to be nothing. I think them to be something to be judged down.
Well, the word literally is despisest here is kataphronio. It means to look down your nose at the thing. That's probably enough to keep you repenting the rest of the day, right? Anybody have any response? Welcome back, Scott.
I was just sitting thinking what it's like to have the riches and then...
Want something else.
And then go away and think, oh my God, I don't have the riches anymore that I used to have.
They're the same wherever you are, because the riches don't have to do with it. With, you know, that's why the riches are him.
Yeah, but it's like you can't take the money to the bank if you don't have other people to make that transaction with it.
Well, you can if you do. I mean, if you just speak always what's there, and live in faith, then this will happen. It's when we hold back and we... Huh?
Did I detect the sound of a last word in there someplace a few minutes ago? It sounded like you're
what?
Writing. The thing about the 24 people. And,
yeah, that's what the last word's about.
Yeah.
But I'm not done with it. I'm not ready to give it to even. I'm not even ready. It's not even in a state where I can give it the sow's ear to the silk purse maker.
I was hoping you had a reason for telling that story again. You've already told us 2 or 3 times, and I was thinking, well, maybe somebody really needs to hear that.
No, the thing is that it became so apparent that it was me that was doing it. All right, take it, big guy.